This is Classic Business with Michael Avery on Classic 1027 in Johannesburg and Fine Music Radio in Cape Town.
Well, tonight's show certainly has an ESG-heavy theme at the back end of it. This was the week that BlackRock chief executive Larry Fink sent out his annual letter to CEOs, and that's certainly gathering lots of attention at the moment. And as he's written in past letters, a company simply cannot achieve long-term profits without embracing purpose and considering the needs of a broad range of stakeholders. A pharmaceutical company that hikes prices ruthlessly, a mining company that shortchanges safety or pollutes aquifers, a bank that fails to respect its clients. These companies can maximize profits in the short term, but as we've seen time and time again, these are the actions that actually damage society and catch up with a company and destroy shareholder value in the long term. And we've certainly seen quite a bit of this in South Africa over the last 24 months. Corporate scandals like Steinhoff and Tongaat and everything around state capture as well. Bernard Moffa-King is director of CMSRM Partners. They specialize in tax, customs and excise and corporate governance. And he's an associate member of the Institute of Chartered Secretaries, which is all about corporate governance. And Bernard, great to have you in studio to talk about how we ensure that there's more accountability and better corporate stewardship in South Africa. How are you doing?
I'm great. Thank you. Thank you for inviting me.
When you see how this is all playing itself out in South Africa, with reference to what BlackRock's Larry Fink said, we've got a welter of corporate government and corruption scandals. We've also got a host of corporate governance codes. We've got CRESA, we've got King IV. We really have enough legislation, it seems. We just don't seem to be able to enforce it.
Yes, it's true. South Africa's got some of the best legislation in the world, in the public and private sector. And it's just the will. That will is not there to enforce it. Otherwise, we've got the best legislation. If it was enforced properly, we won't have these scandals, or they will be limited.
Who takes the lead here in enforcing this? Because if you look at King IV, they say it's the board and they've got to take an outcomes-based approach. If you look at CRESA, they say that fund managers need to be far more active with the way they vote at AGMs. Who takes the lead? Internal auditors. There's three layers of audit. We found our auditors to be deficient. In some instances, Deloitte complicit in state capture at Eskom. Who takes the lead?
I think the lead should be taken by the people on top, you know. The board must take charge and enforce it. And if the board is taking charge, the executive management will understand that the board is serious about enforcing governance within the company. And in the public sector, the ministers and on top, they should take charge. And the executive and the accounting officers within departments and SOEs will know that they are accountable and the serious action if nothing happens, if there's no accountability from their side.
Now, Tongaat Hewlett is a very high-profile example here. And they, the board here, considering whether to sue several senior executives to recover the bonuses and benefits that accrued while they presided over what were deemed to be undesirable accounting practices. I think that's a euphemism for fraud. What would you like to see happen at Tongaat Hewlett to help recalibrate this tone of accountability?
They must continue with the action. We shouldn't find later on that nothing has happened to those directors and executive management of Tongaat. They should pursue it because it will set precedent on what needs to happen if directors doesn't account to their shareholders. So it should be a lesson and should be used as an example for future debacle like this.
And shareholders need to ensure that when they vote, they demand that sort of accountability from the board as well, that there is pressure from all sides. One just gets the sense, Bernard, and I'm talking here as an exasperated South African, we need to see individuals in orange overalls for transgressing the law, for destroying pensioner money. Men and women on the street have lost millions of rands. Individually, collectively, billions of rands on the back of the scandals like Steinhoff, EOH, Tongaat Hewlett. Yet I can't recall a single prosecution.
Unfortunately for shareholders, their only remedy is to enforce their rights on the board of directors, punish those boards and executive management. Otherwise, they don't have any recourse against the directors themselves because the recourse is on the company. The company is the one who actually lost the value, and they must continue lay charges against them.
I hear what you're saying there. You've also served as a member of an audit and risk committee for a public sector entity. What have you found with that experience? I mean, what happens to recommendations particular matters that come to your attention? Because the accounting and auditing profession has also seen its fair share of scandal in the wake of state capture.
Again, even in government departments, the problem is that at the top, they are not enforcing the Public Management Finance Management Act. And it is very clear what happens in case of fruitless expenditure, wasteful expenditure, and unauthorized expenditure. There are penalties for that. But we don't see them being implemented. And if the people don't implement them, the people at the bottom won't pursue them. I think that's the way things are at the moment. Until somebody starts saying that the buck stops here, and if you don't implement the PFMA, then you're going to face consequences, which are clearly written in the Act, but none enforced.
Now, the Auditor General, Kimmy Mkhwetu, has been saying for years that in his reports in the financial outcomes of municipalities, for example, the audit reports always point to the areas of concern, the financial mismanagement, the fruitless and wasteful expenditure. And nothing tends to happen because the Auditor General didn't have teeth up until an amendment to the Act. The Auditor General can now refer accounting officers to the Hawks or to the SAPs for further investigation. Do you think this is going to signal a change in terms of accountability in the public sector?
It is a step in the right direction, but again, the people on top, like the ministers in charge of a department or the CEOs of SOEs, must be the people enforcing it. They are the people running the business and in charge, and they understand the business properly, and they should be accountable for those actions. Now they are shifting the buck to the Auditor General. So I think that will put in too much pressure on Auditor General while he's got already a huge job to do.
Well, Bernard, we have managed to get hold of Tobias Bischoff-Nibbs, but unfortunately, we've also managed to run out of time as well. Okay. So thank you very much for your time, for sharing your experience and your insights into corporate governance failings in South Africa. Bernard Moffa-King, Director of CMSRM Partners, a firm that specializes in corporate governance and compliance.